Verse 190.
يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ وَلَيْسَ الْبِرُّ بِأَنْ تَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهَا وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى وَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ.
They ask thee about the new moons. Say, they are means for measuring time, for the general convenience of people, and for the pilgrimage. And it is not righteousness that you come into houses by the backs thereof. But truly righteous is he who fears God. And you should come into houses by the doors thereof, and fear Allah, that you may prosper. Footnote 217. Islam has made use of both the lunar and solar systems for measuring time. Where worship is to be performed in different parts of the day, the solar system of reckoning time is used, as in the five daily prayers, or for the beginning and the breaking of the daily fast. And where worship is to be completed within a particular month, or part thereof, the lunar system is used, as in selecting the month of fasting, or the appointment of the time of pilgrimage, etc. Thus, Islam has made use of both the systems, so the solar system is as much Islamic as the lunar system. Footnote 218. The clause points to a very important principle, that the real purpose in prescribing different acts of worship is the intrinsic usefulness thereof, and not that every change of time should have attached to it an act of worship. Therefore the question, arising from the over-eagerness of the faithful, that, like fasting, there may be prescribed other acts of worship in other months also, was like approaching a house not through its door, but by the back thereof. The primary thing is worship, and time is only secondary. But those who put the question wanted to make time a primary, and worship merely a secondary thing. This was like putting the cart before the horse. The reference also seems to be to a practice of the pagan Arabs, that when they had once started on pilgrimage to Mecca, if for any reason they had to come back, they would enter their houses from their backs by scaling over the walls. The verse condemns such practices, pointing out that they do not constitute virtue, which is a spiritual concept, and implies that appropriate means should be adopted for the achievement of one's objective. Bukhari, chapter on Tafsir. Verse 191.
وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ.
And fight in the way of Allah against those who fight against you, but do not transgress. Surely Allah loves not the transgressors. Footnote 219. This is one of the earliest verses in which permission to fight was given to Muslims. The very first verse revealed in this connection being chapter 22, verse 40. The verse under comment contains the gist of the conditions which should govern a religious war. A. Such a war should be undertaken with the object of removing obstacles placed in the way of Allah, i.e. for the establishment of the freedom of religious belief and practice. B. It is to be waged only against those who first take up arms against Muslims. And C. The Muslims should lay down arms as soon as the enemy desists from fighting.
Verse 192. والفتنة أشد من القتل ولا تقاتلوهم عند المسجد الحرام حتى يقاتلوكم فيه فإن قاتلوكم فاقتلوهم كذلك جزاء الكافرين.
And slay these transgressors wherever you meet them, and drive them out from where they have driven you out. For persecution is worse than slaying. And fight them not in and near the sacred mosque until they fight you therein. But if they fight you, then fight them. Such is the requital for the disbelievers. Footnote 220. This verse relates to conditions when war has actually broken out. Obviously, it enjoins Muslims to fight against only such disbelievers as are the first to take up arms against them. Footnote 221. The words signify that Mecca, being the center and the most sacred place of Islam, no non-Muslim should be allowed to remain in it.
Verse 193.
فَإِنِ انْتَهَوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ.
But if they desist, then surely Allah is most forgiving, merciful.
Verse 194.
وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لا تكون فتنة ويكون الدين لله فإن انتهوا فلا عدوان إلا على الظالمين.
And fight them until there is no persecution, and religion is professed only for Allah. But if they desist, then remember that no hostility is allowed except against the aggressors. Footnote 222. This verse also shows that Muslims are allowed to fight in self-defense only when war is inflicted upon them by the other party, and to continue it till complete freedom of religion is established. The Holy Prophet could not have entered into a number of treaties of peace with disbelievers if the divine commandment had been to continue fighting until all disbelievers had embraced Islam. For a detailed note on jihad, see footnotes 1956 to 1960. Footnote 223. Udwan means number one, hostility. Number two, wrongful conduct. Number three, punishment for wrongful conduct. And number four, approach to a person by way of justification or excuse against him. Mufradat and Lane. These four verses, 191 to 194, embody the following rules about war. A. War is to be resorted to only for the sake of God, and not for any selfish motive, nor for aggrandizement, or the advancement of national or other interests. B. Muslims can go to war only against those who attack them first. C. Even after the enemy has initiated the attack, they are enjoined to keep warfare within limits, and not to extend it beyond the immediate objective. D. They are to fight against only the regular army, and not to attack or molest non-combatants. E. During the course of fighting, immunity is to be afforded to all religious rites and ceremonies. F. To attack religious places or to do any kind of harm to them is absolutely forbidden, so that no fighting is allowed even in their neighborhood. G. If the enemy uses a place of worship as a base for attack, only then Muslims may return the attack in or near it. H. Fighting is to continue only so long as interference with religious freedom lasts. See also chapter 8, verse 40, chapter 9, verses 4 to 6, chapter 20, verse 40, and chapter 20, verse 41, etc.
The
violation of a sacred month may be retaliated in the sacred month. And for all sacred things, there is the law of retaliation. So, whoso transgresses against you, punish him for his transgression to the extent to which he has transgressed against you. And fear Allah, and know that Allah is with those who fear him. Footnote 224. The sacred months are Dhul-Qada, Dhul-Hijjah, Al-Muharram, and Rajab. In these months, all fighting is disallowed. The commandment is intended to safeguard the sanctity of the Kaaba and the sacred months. Footnote 225. See footnote 33.
Verse 196.
وَأَنفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ
And spend in the cause of Allah, and cast not yourselves into ruin with your own hands, and do good. Surely Allah loves those who do good. Footnote 226. As for the successful prosecution of war, money is required. The believers are exhorted to spend freely in the cause of Allah, as any hesitancy to do so would result in national ruin.
Verse 197.
وَأَتِمُّوا الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ فَإِنْ أُحْصِرْتُمْ فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدْيِ وَلَا تَحْلِقُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْهَدْيُ مَحِلَّهُ فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ بِهِ أَذًى مِّنْ رَأْسِهِ فَفِدْيَةٌ مِّنْ صِيَامٍ أَوْ صَدَقَةٍ أَوْ نُسُكٍ فَإِذَا أَمِنْتُمْ فَمَنْ تَمَتَّعَ بِالْعُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْحَجِّ فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدْيِ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ تِلْكَ عَشَرَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَهْلُهُ حَاضِرِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ
And complete the pilgrimage and the umrah for the sake of Allah. But if you are kept back, then make whatever offering is easily available. And do not shave your heads until the offering reaches its destination. And whoever among you is sick or has an ailment of the head should make an expiation either by fasting or almsgiving. Or a sacrifice. But when you are safe, then he who would avail himself of the Umrah, together with the pilgrimage, should make whatever offering is easily obtainable. But such of you as cannot find an offering should fast 3 days during the pilgrimage, and 7 when you return home. These are 10 complete. This is for him whose family does not reside near the sacred mosque. And fear Allah, and know that Allah is severe in punishing. Footnote 227. With this verse begins the subject of Hajj, pilgrimage. Jihad and Hajj seem to be correlated, and both constitute a form of sacrifice which a true and sincere believer has to undergo in the way of Allah. A subject which began with chapter 2, verse 178. The pilgrimage is the last stage in the spiritual development of man. The other stages, such as prayer, fasting, and jihad, have already been discussed. Footnote 228. The Umrah, or the lesser pilgrimage, consists in entering into a stage of ihram in the way mentioned above, circuiting the Kaaba 7 times, running between Safa and Marwa, and offering a sacrifice, which, however, is not obligatory. The Umrah may be performed at any time of the year, whereas the Hajj, or the greater pilgrimage, is performed only during the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Footnote 229. The words, "if you are kept back," refer to a state of affairs when a would-be pilgrim is prevented by disease or a state of war or by some other cause from visiting the Kaaba to perform the Hajj or the Umrah. Footnote 230. The Umrah and the Hajj may be combined in 2 ways. A. The pilgrim who intends to perform the Umrah alone should enter into the state of ihram and perform its rites and finish it. Then, on the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah, he should again enter into the state of ihram and perform the prescribed rites of Hajj. This form of combining the Umrah and the Hajj is technically called tamattu, which literally means availing oneself of a thing. B. The pilgrim may perform the Umrah and the Hajj simultaneously. He should, in this case, enter into the state of ihram with that intention and should remain in that state till the end of the pilgrimage. This combination of Hajj and Umrah is called qiran, which literally means the putting together of 2 things. In both tamattu and qiran, it is obligatory to offer the sacrifice. In the verse under comment, the word tamattu is not used in the technical sense and covers qiran also. Footnote 231. Fasting, as mentioned in the clause, should fast 3 days during the pilgrimage, is distinct and separate from the fasting mentioned above. The first mentioned fasting is meant for those who cannot shave their heads, while this fasting is meant for those who are unable to offer sacrifice in case of tamattu. The 3 days spoken of are preferably the 11th, 12th and 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. The remaining 7 fasts may be observed after one has returned home. Footnote 232. The words mean that the permission to combine Hajj and Umrah is meant not for the residents of Mecca, but for those who come from outside. By some, however, the words "the sacred mosque" have been extended to include the whole of Haram, i.e. the sacred territory in and around Mecca.